So turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. We'll spend a few moments looking at this great prayer of Christ, not the whole, but the portion of it that deals with us today, because he mentions us specifically, not North Hartford Baptist Church, but believers in the future specifically. This morning we were in Ephesians chapter 4, and we read there, Paul writes, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you," you're looking at John, I know that, but I want to remind you, "to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called." And the first thing on his list has to do with unity and loving one another, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so I want to come tonight for a few minutes to John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26, and see how Jesus prayed for that. And I don't really have an outline, but I do have some things that kind of form an outline. And one of them, the first is this, that we would have a heart for the family of God rather than, instead of, exalting ourselves. That's the flesh. And that's the way that we will gravitate because of our flesh and because of the world. It's the world's way. And it's what Satan would want, because he does not want God to be glorified. And he knows that a heart for the family of God is glorifying to God. Well, let's see the passage, John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus, in the midst of this prayer the night before the cross, prays, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone." Who are the these? Are you with me? Who are the these? The apostles that are with him, have been with him in the upper room. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word." Now, what a great promise of fruit to come through the witness of the apostles. And I still believe we are bearing that fruit, because the word continues to go forth. The word that is what we know of as our New Testament continues to be proclaimed around the world, and God is using that to draw souls to faith in Christ. And then here's his prayer, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. So notice, just as we have unity, I'm praying that they would have share in that unity, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So what does it mean to be in us? Verse 21, that is, in God and Jesus. Well, it means to be made part of the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We saw that this morning in 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." We are in Christ through the Spirit, brothers and sisters, not only in this local fellowship, but with all brothers and sisters worldwide who have come to faith in Christ, all whom the Holy Spirit dwells in. And our heart needs to be for the body, not the individual, not our preferences, not our needs, but for the body. And so I guess I would summarize these two verses by saying, embrace the plural. Think of Christianity in the plural. Most of the words in the New Testament are they and those and we and you, plural. It's about the body of Christ. So a heart for the family of God instead of exalting ourselves. And Jesus is saying his desire is that we would know that type of unity, that type of oneness, even as he and the Father does. Well, that's an aspect of the truth that we don't have time to delve into that. I just want you to see, have a heart, in a practical way, have a heart for the family of God instead of exalting yourself. Number two, a heart for God's glory instead of personal glory. So a singular focus. We embrace the plural, but we have a singular focus. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I think the glory that Jesus gave is the indwelling Holy Spirit, whose work it is to glorify God in and through our lives. But again, unity is a part of that, that they may be one just as we are one, that we would have the same witness. I mean, worldwide, we're going to dress different, we're going to do church different, but we're going to honor Jesus in the same way because the same Spirit is within us. I and them, verse 23, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that's what drew me to this prayer, that phrase, Jesus' prayer that the church would be perfected, that is, the church to come, those saved through the ministry of the apostles and going on into history, that we would be perfected in unity. And notice the purpose of that, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Yielding to the Spirit within us perfects unity and witnesses to the truth of the gospel and the reality of God's love. So embrace the plural. Have a singular focus, that is God's glory instead of any personal glory. By the way, I think I'm not going to say it's the major way, but in a significant way, church business meetings most every time reflect that at this church, and I'm very thankful for that. I mean, that's all I've known for, well, over 35 years now, but I've been in some that weren't like that over my years in other churches, and I'm just thankful for that. We try to work through things together. That's evidence that it's not about us. It's not about personal things. It's about what is best in God's will for the church. All right, number three, a heart for heaven instead of earthly gain. And so here we are yearning for the eternal, a heart for heaven. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. Notice the desire of Christ. That should encourage you. So that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus was glorious on earth, to be sure, but not with his heavenly glory. We can read about his earthly manifestation of God's power and God's wisdom and all of the Godhead bodily. We can see it, but it was veiled. It's not the glory that we see in the book of Revelation and that we will see when he returns. And Jesus' desire is that his church know him in the fullness of his glory. That's what he prays here. He yearns for his church to be with him in heaven or in the new kingdom. And when that is your yearning and my yearning, I think we realize that there's a lot of things not worth getting upset over. I think a lot of things just go by the wayside. Sometimes hurt feelings, that's okay. I'll just cover that in love. They didn't mean that. Because we don't make it about ourselves. We look at the bigger picture. We yearn for the eternal. And we don't let earthly disappointments distract us from that. Number four, this is the last one, a heart for knowing God instead of other lesser ambitions. I didn't know how to say that, but just a heart for knowing God. O righteous Father, verse 25, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. So they are knowing you through me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known. You see that? I have made your name known. They know about you because of me, and I will make it known. They'll know more of you because of me. So that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Do you see where knowledge of God takes us? Not to the dusty shelves of theological books. You might learn some great things there, but it increases your love for God. Notice the end of verse 26 of his prayer, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. We understand his love for us more and more the more we know him. and our love will grow toward him. So a heart for knowing God, it should be the consuming desire of every Christian to know God by knowing Christ in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. And as we know him more fully, we know his love more fully, and the result will be love for others. And so here I would say, make it personal. So since I worked on this alliteration just a little bit, let me say it again. Embrace the plural, have a singular focus, yearn for the eternal, and make it personal, knowing God, knowing his love for you. These are things Jesus is praying for. Do you think that Jesus' prayer was according to God's will? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus' prayer is being answered in the church? I do. I think we can get off track and it not be answered in our personal lives, but I do believe it's being answered, and I know it will be fully answered when he returns. Because as I said this morning, denominations will fall by the wayside, and any earthly pursuits that have been out of line in our lives, they fall by the wayside as well. So I hope this encourages you, just as we look at unity in the book of Ephesians, to know that Jesus has prayed for that. And I believe he intercedes for us according to these things today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your calling on our lives to reflect unity, to reflect knowledge of you, to reflect the love that we see in you, so that the world will know. Father, help us to be a fulfillment of that yearning of our Lord, that we would love each other as he loved us, so that the world may know that we are his disciples. Help us to grow in that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.